Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Hello, my beautiful friend. Welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited because I'm actually hanging out with you solo. I honestly cannot recall the last podcast episode that I recorded by myself. And to be honest, there is a reason for that. I don't get to do anything by myself anymore. When I have to go to the bathroom, honestly, I have like six little eyeballs staring back at me, my two golden retriever pups, and my 10 and a half month old baby boy. It's hard to find alone time these days. And so I have found that in order to stay on schedule with podcast episodes, it is more likely that an episode, a conversation will be recorded and scheduled so that it's ready for your listening pleasure if I put it on my calendar and have a date with someone else. So Coach Lauren and I have been doing a lot of Q&A podcast episodes. I have had wonderful conversation with guest experts, and I love those episodes, but there's just a special place in my heart for these more intimate chats between us. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode, even though it's just my voice that you'll be listening to. Without further ado, today's topic is one that was inspired by my recent birthday. I turned 34, which I just can't even believe those words are coming out of my mouth because I don't feel 34. Like, to be honest, it feels like I'm still stuck in my 20s somewhere. And I guess that's a good thing. I also was reflecting on it this morning. And I think part of that is because my body physically feels better than it did when I was younger. I'm trying to think of when it was, but many years ago now. Probably, actually, it happened the year I got married. So 2016, I struggled with a back fracture. And I was just for several years in debilitating back pain. And let me tell you, like, there is no faster way to misery, depression, like hopelessness than living with chronic pain, in my experience anyway. It was some of the darkest days for me. But nevertheless, I have been able to manage my back pain. And unless I do something incredibly stupid, which I try to avoid, I don't live with pain anymore, which is such a blessing. I remember like being in agony, trying to bend over and get a tissue to blow my nose. And I would look at people who were walking down the street seemingly in no pain. And I would like envy them. I would get so angry that there were people who got to live their lives without pain, and I was subjected to basically just constantly being reminded of my pain. So I don't feel 34, but nevertheless, that is how old I am. And as I was celebrating this year, I was actually at the beach with my family. We were taking Cole, my baby boy, to the beach for his first time, and we were staying at a condo where we made breakfast together every morning. But otherwise, you know, we were eating out. We were doing beach day things. We were eating ice cream all the time. I think over the course of 5 days, we had ice cream probably 3 times, because ice cream's my favorite food ever. And that's what I wanted for my birthday. And then there were a couple of other like really hot summer nights. And I don't know, like, isn't there just a time in the evening on a hot summer night where you're like, I think it's time for ice cream. Like, it just sort of belongs in the summer. So I enjoyed it to the fullest. And I was just sitting there enjoying, savoring my non-dairy ice cream and thinking about how years ago, I refused to eat ice cream because of how bad I believed it was for me because of how many calories were in ice cream and, you know, any dessert really, because of how much sugar was in ice cream, because of how damaging that was going to be to my health and my weight and my body. And I vividly remember celebrating a birthday and making my mom put candles in watermelon, because that was the closest thing to cake that I would allow myself to eat. She had slices of watermelon she like stacked on a plate and then literally put birthday candles in the watermelon. And I blew them out and I ate my watermelon. I also remember feeling incredibly guilty because I was trying to take a rest day on my birthday. I was so obsessed with exercising. I was abusing fitness. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to gift myself a rest day for my birthday. I'm not going to run. And I probably stressed myself out more because I felt so bad about not running. I felt so guilty. It wasn't even a rest day. Like, it was the opposite of rest. It was a lot of work for me to not work out one day a year on my birthday. So I was reflecting on how very, very different my relationship with food is today, thank God, compared to how it used to be. And then I was thinking, well, how did it get here? Because it used to be a really dark and scary place. Like I mentioned, refused to eat birthday cake. I wouldn't allow myself, I didn't have ice cream for years. And I already told you, it's my favorite food. So years not allowing myself to have ice cream, I was basically wasting away, emaciated because of the food rules that I was subscribing to and the guilt and shame that I was repeatedly punishing myself with. I've shared lots of stories about my disordered eating relationship with food back in the day, if you will. But I wanted to share with you four things that upon reflecting, I feel like are the four most pivotal things that helped me to completely transform my relationship with food. So I just shared with you how ugly it was. Today, I know this is going to sound strange to anyone who is struggling with their relationship with food, because it would have sounded strange to me. I don't really think about food beyond like, wow, what do I get to eat tonight? Or where do we want to go? Like, what kind of food are we in the mood for? Or, you know what? It would mean a lot to me if we got to eat ice cream on my birthday. Like, I think about food in terms of how I'm going to enjoy it. And of course, how it's going to benefit my body, because I do have a lot of nutrition education that I probably take for granted, but it's just kind of a part of my nutrition understanding at this point. But I don't think about how many hours has it been since I've eaten last? I don't think about whether a food is going to be good or bad for my body anymore. I don't think about the things that basically used to consume all of my days every day. I don't think about that anymore because my relationship with food is so healthy and neutral, and I feel so confident navigating food, which again, things I never thought I would be able to say. So essentially, I have done a complete 180 in my relationship with food. And I want you to keep in mind that this has happened over the course of years. Years, so over a decade. Another example I can give you is I remember turning 21 and my family took me out to celebrate at a restaurant. It was just my immediate family and my best friend. And I was 21. So we ordered like sangria for the table so that I could celebrate by having a drink with my family. I didn't grow up in a drinking family. So this really was kind of like my first foray into alcohol. And I pretended to take a sip of the sangria because I was afraid of the calories in the alcohol. So that was another birthday that I can kind of recall back in that really unhealthy place. 180 degrees from there. And that was when I was 21. Now I'm 34. So that was over 10 years ago. It's taken me a long time. But there are four things that, in my opinion, have made a world of difference for me. And I want to share them with you in case you're struggling with your relationship with food and you're looking to transform into a healthier, happier, more confident version of yourself. The first is that I had to open my eyes to the trajectory I was on. This is something that didn't happen for me until I was in grad school. So I really struggled with a poor relationship with food all throughout college. And it wasn't until grad school where I was actually going to get my master's in nutrition, physical activity, and public health that I don't know what it was. I guess you can call it a come to Jesus moment, like light bulb moment. My eyes were opened. I had been engaging in really unhealthy behaviors for years up until that point. People had tried to bring it to my attention. I refused to acknowledge how unhealthy my thoughts and my behaviors were at that point. But there was something that happened where I thought, if I keep doing the things I'm doing now, thinking the thoughts I'm thinking now, eating in the way that I'm eating now, where does that take me? Like, what does my future look like? And at the time, I was studying nutrition. And I just remember very vividly having this thought of, well, I can't help people. I can't teach people about nutrition. If my trajectory is being afraid of food, struggling in my body, and always trying to exercise more, eat less, in the hopes of weighing as little as possible. I saw that for my future, and there was a huge discord. There was a lot of friction there. And I was like, well, this just isn't going to work. That was the first time I can remember thinking, shit, something's got to change. And I'm so glad that it happened then, because even then, I changed the trajectory of my future. I started the recovery process. And even then, I went on to, because of the behavior that I had exhibited for the past several years, I went on to fracture a hip and fracture my spine, which is the reason for the chronic back pain, right? That was after I had made the decision to start changing my relationship with food and stop chronically dieting. Can you imagine what the trajectory would have been if I let that path continue for several more years or several more decades, God forbid? I don't even like thinking about it because it's just like, it was already scary as hell. I don't want to think about what would happen if I hadn't just thought about, okay, well, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So if I change nothing and I keep eating the way that I'm eating and I keep exercising the way that I'm exercising, keep in mind at the time I was experiencing like lightheaded and dizzy spells like crazy. I was in and out of doctor's offices because I felt like something was just wrong with my body. And I was experiencing injury after injury after injury. And I thought, well, if this compounds over time, who am I in my 30s? My 40s, my 50s, like what does my life look like then? Can I think about being a good wife with this current relationship with food? A good mom with this current relationship with food? Just a good, or maybe not even good is the right word, but like the woman I want to be. Can I see myself being the woman I want to be, doing the things I want to do if I keep my current behaviors? So that was the first hugely powerful thing that helped start the transformation of my relationship with food. I had to open my eyes to the trajectory I was on. I think sometimes we just get stuck in this current moment. This is what I have to do, right? This is the least painful decision for me. This is what I need to do in order to feel safe. And while, again, those behaviors served me for a time, I understand why I did what I did in terms of hyper-controlling calories and physical activity. The trajectory of those behaviors was scary. And I had to open my eyes beyond the current moment for me to acknowledge, oh, this isn't going to be good long term. This isn't where I want to go. That was number one. Number two, the second thing that helped me to completely transform my relationship with food, you're not going to love hearing this one, but it's true, is getting rid of the scale for a while, for a long while. Getting rid of the scale. So at my unhealthiest, I also happened to be my lightest, and it was very, very unwell, did not have a period, was pulling from my bone density because I was eating so
little, not enough energy was being provided to my body. And I remember weighing in multiple times a day. I would weigh in first thing waking up. I would go for a run. I would weigh in. I would then eat breakfast. I would weigh in. I would, you know, middle of the day, just felt some type of way, would weigh in. Like constantly I was obsessed with weighing in. And again, this was at a point where I knew, my eyes were open to the fact that my behavior was not the healthiest. But I didn't know, I had no tools, I had no skills to go from that to weighing in and using the scale in a more health promoting and appropriate way. I didn't know how. So the only thing for me to do was to stop weighing in cold turkey. And I think that that was probably the best thing that I ever could have done, because looking back now, I can see I was too light. I was too thin. I was too unhealthy. So in order for me to be a healthy person, have a healthy body, I had to gain weight. And if I had to see that number creep up on the scale day after day, week after week, I think I would have self-sabotaged. I'm pretty positive I would have self-sabotaged many, many, many times. And I don't know that I would have found success, because at that point, my worth, my identity was too closely tied to the number on the scale. So I think if I was seeing that number, even if I knew logically I need this number to go up in order to survive, I don't think I could have done it. So I knew, and I didn't have anyone tell me this, but I knew well enough at that point, call it intuition, I had to stop weighing in if I was going to get better. So I did. For a couple of years, I didn't know what I weighed. I knew I was living in a larger body. I knew I no longer fit into the clothes that I fit into once upon a time in my disordered eating days. And that was hard enough. Like living in that bigger body was hard enough. To see the number would have been crushing. Because again, I didn't have the knowledge I have now. I didn't have the perspective I have now. And my worth was too closely connected to that number. So I don't know how long it was, truth be told, until I started weighing in again. And I remember that number was hella scary when I started weighing in again, because at my lightest, somewhere around, it doesn't matter. I mean, my numbers are not your numbers, and there's so much nuance and individual context, I even hesitate sharing them. But I remember from my lightest to when I hopped on the scale again at a healthier place later on, there was a 40 pound difference. 40 to 50 pound difference, probably 40 to 45. And I was like, holy moly, like, what the hell? But I had done a lot of work. So I understood that that was a much healthier number for me to arrive at. And again, now I'm at a place where I can weigh in. I don't choose to very frequently simply because it doesn't mean all that much to me anymore. I understand that the scale is one metric and it's so far from the most accurate or reliable metric. So I can weigh in, see a number and have it not mean anything about me. Again, that took a very long time. But I also can choose not to weigh in, not have access to a scale, and that not matter. But I don't think I would have gotten here to my relationship with food and my relationship with the scale if I hadn't quit weighing in cold turkey. And I see this with a lot of my coaching clients, whether they come into coaching saying, hey, I hate the scale. Like, I hate that number. I feel some type of negative way about myself every time I step on. And then we say, okay, well, let's agree to not use weight as a metric. Or somewhere throughout the coaching journey, they self-sabotage. And it's like, I don't know why this number isn't moving. I'm doing everything right. Maybe this isn't working. Even though we can see other metrics improving and changing. And I might suggest, hey, what if we like put this in your trunk for a while? Can we hide the scale and focus on some other metrics that maybe don't have so much story connected to them? I get it. The scale is easy. It's accessible. It's, you know, convenient, but it just comes with a lot of drama, because diet culture has told us that our worth is connected to that number and smaller is better. And there's so much history tied to that number. For a lot of women, we struggle with, well, I saw this number before I got married, or that number before I had babies. And so that must be where I need to land at my healthiest, when your body's not the same. Your life isn't the same. Like, that's not the case. So maybe something to consider. I don't know where you're at in your journey. And on the flip side, I have seen clients and have worked with clients who are able to weigh in. We never do it more regularly than weekly because we're always looking at an average, at a trend. But I've seen clients who can weigh in and not have any issue with it. But the large majority of women do struggle with the scale. And so perhaps I'm just sharing my personal experience with you today. Your journey is different. But perhaps if you're working on transforming your relationship with food, it could be beneficial to step away from the scale for a while, or hey, forever. The third thing that I feel completely transformed, helped me to transform my relationship with food, is leaving my food tracking app. My food tracking app of choice was MyFitnessPal. I used it for years and years and years. And it was basically what I used to validate and to affirm my disordered eating behavior. Am I good? Am I bad? Did I overeat today? Did I undereat today? Did I make sure that I compensated for that extra thing I had yesterday by undereating today? Like, it was just what I relied on too much. And I basically like lived by during my disordered eating days. And I knew, again, I reached a point where I was like, huh, I'm checking in with this thing like multiple times a day. I'm really not making an eating decision or a food choice unless I confer with this app and see if I'm allowed, air quotes, to eat this thing. I then, for some arbitrary reason, decided that I wasn't going to eat more than 999 calories a day, which again, totally unhealthy, totally arbitrary, didn't get that from any sort of credible source. And I accepted that it was unhealthy for me to use. And you've probably heard me talk about this before, but I couldn't quit it for a long time. So unlike with the scale, I did not go cold turkey with my fitness pal. I tried, but I failed miserably because I felt like I needed that tracking app to validate I was okay. Okay, is this all right? Like, is it okay that I eat this piece of bread? Because bread is bad, isn't it? Like, this is too many calories for sure. I'm going to gain like 5 pounds in a day, right? So I remember a long time where I would tell certain individuals that I was not logging anymore. And I ended up lying to them because I would resort to my tracking app, even after I told them I wasn't going to. Even after I told myself I wasn't going to, I kept going back to it because it felt like a crutch that I needed. And it took me a long time to finally figure out that I could be okay without it. And so now that's why with my coaching clients, if they feel overly reliant on an app or a tracking tool, I don't want to say never, but I'm going to say never cut them off cold turkey. We would always wean them off a tracking app. So it's really important for someone to be able to see, oh, well, I can log like lunch and dinner, but I know what I eat for breakfast. Like, it's pretty similar day to day. I don't have to log my breakfast. Or you know what? My Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is pretty similar. I pack my lunch. Like, I have a very routine, you know, eating schedule. So I'm just going to log, you know, weekends, or maybe I'll log most days, but take like the occasional day off when I'm going on date night with my partner. So I don't have to worry about, you know, finding the calories that closely match. So as a coach, I do a fantastic job of helping my clients to wean off the app because of my personal experience, knowing how lost you can feel when you've been using an app like that. Or it doesn't even have to be an app, but like, let's say you've been counting points with Weight Watchers, something similar to that. It feels really hard to then just go without it. But I say this because I think if I had continued logging and I saw, oh, hey, 999 is not an appropriate number of calories for a grown-ass woman to eat every day, especially a grown-ass woman who's physically active, I need to increase that calorie threshold up to, I mean, these days I eat over 2,000 calories easily every day. Like, I would have freaked out about eating that many calories. It just would have been really damaging for me to see at the time. So I just needed to quit it. And like I said, it wasn't easy. In fact, it was very, very difficult, but leaving my fitness pal was one of the best things I did for my relationship with food. And again, now 10 plus years later, I can use it. I can use the app. If I go back, I have occasionally, if I'm going to intentionally intentionally enter, excuse me, a fat loss phase. But I've been chilling in maintenance mode for quite some time. And again, I don't need it. So I don't use it. And that's really freeing. That's really awesome to know that this one thing that I used to rely upon, it basically used to be like my Bible. And now it's completely obsolete because I've built internal mechanisms. I've built self-trust. I've built intuition that I can trust. I know when I'm hungry. I know when I'm satisfied. I know when I'm overly full. I know how I feel when I eat predominantly carbohydrates throughout the day. I know how I feel when I eat a balance of protein, carbs, and fats. I don't need my fitness pal to tell me that. Now, all of that being said, I do use tracking apps with some of my coaching clients because I do think that the tool itself, entirely neutral. I abused it. I learned to use it in a negative way. Does that mean that tracking apps can never be helpful? Absolutely not. In fact, in a lot of coaching relationships, they're extremely helpful because maybe someone's coming from the opposite end of the spectrum and they don't know how many calories they're eating. They've never had any type of education surrounding calorie awareness or macronutrient awareness. Again, I don't want someone to feel reliant upon it. So I will never say, hey, we're going to use this for the rest of your life. Learn to love it. But it doesn't have to be an evil thing is what I want to make sure I throw out there. For me, I used it in a really negative way. I needed to learn how to not use it. Again, it's a tool now. I know it's an app I could use should I choose to. It's just sort of in my toolbox collecting dust because I don't need it anymore, which is the best feeling ever. And the last thing that, again, I don't think you're going to love, but I'm being honest with you. These are the four things that when I sat down and I was like, how did this happen? Like I always tell clients, results don't happen by accident, right? So I didn't go from an emaciated, super fearful, ashamed, sick young girl with the worst relationship with food ever to a nutrition coach who has the best, most confident relationship with food ever and teaches other women how to create healthy, confident, life-giving relationships with food by accident. Like that didn't happen because of chance. These are the four things that helped me to do it. And so the last thing that I have to give credit to is asking for help. I asked for help. And I'll tell you that at the beginning, help was the last thing I wanted to ask for. Now, keep in mind, there were a lot of years where I engaged in my unhealthy, disordered eating behavior, and I refused help. So I want to just set the scene for you. Until someone is ready to change, you cannot help them change. That was me for a long time. But then, remember, light bulb come to Jesus moment when I was like, shoot, my trajectory is looking really negative, really dark and stormy. I don't know if I can get behind that. Something's got to give. At that point, I started this process of moving away from the scale, moving away from my fitness pal. And at that time, I told my husband, I knew that relationships with food were largely mental. And my struggle with relationship with food was largely mental, right? It wasn't about the physical food. It was my loss of control that I had experienced in my life and my misplacement of trying to seek out control by hyper-controlling my calories and my exercise and the food choices. I have an undergraduate degree in psychology, which is why people do what they do, right? It's the study of the mind. So I told my now husband at the time, I said, I think I should be able to do this myself. So I'm basically going to try to get my shit together by myself. I'm not going to ask for help. And yet, I also know that my perspective is very biased and skewed. I cannot be objective about my own body, my own relationship with food. So I'm going to give you a trump card. And if after a couple of months with trying to navigate my brother's substance use, ultimately my brother's passing, my misplaced control with what ended up being a really debilitating eating disorder. If I can't seem to figure this out on my own in the next couple of months, you can tell me and then I will seek out help. So when I asked for help, it started by asking for help from people around me, like my boyfriend, who is now my husband. I also utilized the internet a lot for support and accountability. Now, I say that tongue in cheek because the internet also really exacerbated my eating disorder at the time. I remember being on Tumblr and like sharing stories with girls who were so proud that all they ate was like 8 blueberries for the day. I remember like saving Thinspo photos. It was just really damaging. It was so detrimental. I remember reading like all of the Self and Cosmo and like women's magazines talking about like dieting and weight loss and things of that nature. So I understand that you have to be very, very, very careful about what you're consuming online. But that being said, I did use it as a way to then follow healthier voices, follow, you know, people who were fueling their bodies appropriately on Instagram, on Facebook, so that I was able to kind of gain strength from their experiences and from their, like what they were sharing in terms of how they felt in their bodies and the foods that they felt comfortable eating. So I first sought out help from people I didn't pay, my like partner at the time and people online. I didn't feel comfortable talking to my family about it. I just relied on a very few select amount of individuals, and they were a huge help. But ultimately, my husband did pull that trump card, and I realized it wasn't okay for me to rely on just those few number of people who were not skilled, were not credentialed to give me the help that I ultimately needed. So then I sought out help that I did pay for. My therapist is amazing, and I would not be where I am today without her. Shout out to Stephanie. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I think that this is one of the hardest things to do, because admitting that you need help, it just comes with a lot of negative connotation, at least for me. My upbringing was like, oh, you should pray about it. And therapists weren't really like looked highly upon, I guess is a way that I can say that and it feel most accurate. No one that I knew of had a nutrition coach, or like health coaches weren't even a thing at the time. So one thing that I would recommend is, if you've been trying to do it on your own for a time and it's not working, or you've been asking for help from like immediate family members, or, you know, maybe some internet resources like a Facebook group or some online connections, and it just feels like maybe you need a little bit more support, or perhaps you're hitting a wall, like they've given you what they can in terms of like what they know, don't be afraid to seek out professional help. And again, that doesn't have to be me. I'm always happy to help and be the nutrition coach in your corner, helping you to create a healthy, confident relationship with food. But I am a huge advocate of therapy of all kinds. So maybe it's a therapist, and that's a great first step for you. Maybe it's, you know, professional help of some other kind. It's hard. It's a hard step to take, but arguably it was what allowed me to progress the fastest. Doing it on my own worked at the beginning. But then I reached a point where I was like, I think if I really want to propel this recovery process, I have to ask for more help. So in summary, the four things that upon reflection helped me to completely do a 180 with my relationship with food were opening my eyes to the trajectory I was on and asking myself, am I okay with this continuing? Am I okay with what my future is going to be if I change nothing? 2, getting rid of the scale for a time. 3, leaving my food tracking app. And 4, asking for help. Again, this is my experience. I was reflecting personally on this and I thought, you know what? This might benefit somebody else. So I share. But if this doesn't feel relevant for you, take what you want. Take what's helpful, leave the rest. My hope for you is this. 1, you are made aware of the fact that you're not alone. If you're struggling in one of those dark, turbulent parts of life in a really unhealthy relationship with food, I get it. I totally get it. I have been there. You are not alone. I also hope that through my story, you can understand that you're not destined to stay stuck there. I can't convey to you how helpless I felt at that time in my life. I never, ever thought that I would be sitting here in my office on this side of the mic sharing this story with you with the relationship with food and the perspective that I have today. Never. So if you're feeling hopeless, frustrated, just dejected from all of the things that you have been trying and yet still feeling like a stranger in your skin, still feeling shrouded with guilt, fear, shame, judgment, food morality, there is hope. It is possible for you to do a 182. And if you're at a place where you're ready and willing and able to ask for help, I am always willing to be the coach in your corner. If that's something that you feel like you're ready for, I would love to hop on a completely free, commitment-free discovery call with you. So we just hop on the phone, we chat about what you're looking to create in your relationship with food, in your life, in your body composition, your experience, what you're hoping to achieve, what you want to feel, look, and perform differently in your life. And if I'm not the coach for you, I will gladly connect you with someone in my network who can help. And if I am the coach for you, fantastic. Fantastic. We'll invite you into the Nutrition Coaching with Nicole squad. Asking for help isn't easy. I get it. But if you're looking to propel your recovery journey, if you're looking to propel yourself towards your big, powerful goals faster, with less frustration, with less pain, I'll drop the link below. Fill out a coaching application. We'll hop on a call. I hope this episode was helpful for you, friends. Catch you on the flip side.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.